Hey guys, I just wanted to say right here off the bat, for the start of the actual episode, I did make a mistake in some of my information. I said Dean Ambrose was a Grand Slam champion. When I said that, I meant Seth Rollins was, because he's already held the tag team WWE and he's already held a mid-card title. So that's what I meant when I said that. Enjoy the video, guys, or the episode. Hello and welcome to the very first episode of WWTW, also known as Wannabe Wrestlers Talk Wrestling. I'm joined here with my co-host, Jack Cliff. How you going there, Jack?
What's up? Not too bad. How's it hanging, Haim?
Pretty good. My name is Hamish Runner. I'll be here every time we go on iTunes, Podmatic, wherever we're going to be posting this. But today, Jack, we're going to be talking about our top 20 favourite wrestlers.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So, let's talk about Money in the Bank for a second. You haven't watched it yet?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what happened, though?
No.
It sucks for you, then, because we'll talk about it later on. But let's get into the countdown. So, what is your number 20 favorite wrestler, Jack?
My list is being really annoying and not coming up. I got it! Number 20, Hornswoggle. Yes, I know it's really stupid, but honestly, it's just for the banter, really. It's just for the banter. It's funny. He's pretty funny.
Okay, my number 20, I had to have him on here because he's basically the franchise, but I have John Cena at number 20. Reason being, he is a 15-time world champion. He will go on the Hall of Fame eventually.
It's good to see you have some respect for him.
He has to be on the list because he may be a quality wrestler with, you know, very few moves, but he has actually upped his game over the past couple of years. So I have to give him respect for that. So he has to be at number 20 for me. So who is your number 19?
Number 19 for me is Edge. The persona. Just basically it's the persona. The whole Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
The Edge persona is very unique, and it's just something that's great. It is an awesome persona for a wrestler in my mind.
Okay, my number 19 is Carlito, actually, because he's a very underutilized talent, I think, in WWE. And I have a couple of underutilized talents on here because he could have been built as a world champion at some point. He's already a former Intercontinental, United States, and Tag Team Champion. He just really needed that major push with his gimmick. Now, his gimmick was fun, it was funny, but he wasn't a world title contender with that I spit in the face people who don't want to be cool gimmick. If they brought him back now, for example, he wouldn't be a world champion. He wouldn't be anywhere near the world title. Maybe 2005, 2006, even 2007, he could have been a world champion, I think. It may have only been a transitional champion, but he could have been a world champion. So, who is your number 18?
Number 18, for me, I'm not actually even sure why I've got him on the list, but, you know, you made me rush writing this list. Ryback. You made me rush writing the list.
You could have put Goldberg.
I could have.
Why did you put Ryback for?
Like I said, I'm not really sure.
Okay, I'm probably going to get murdered for this.
But he is one of my current favourites.
Yep. Just so you guys know, this list is top 20 male wrestlers.
Well, I think we're going to have to do a Divas one as well.
Women's wrestlers, thank
you. Okay, fine. Women's wrestlers. I stand corrected.
I'm going to get murdered for this. Number 18, I have Daniel Bryan. Reason being, he is a great technical wrestler. He has an okay persona, and he deserved winning that world title at WrestleMania 30. Originally, he wasn't even going to be in the main event. Originally, it was going to be Batista versus Randy Orton.
I respect you for that choice.
Which would have been monstrous, but I don't know. I like Daniel Bryan. He's not one of my favorites, I think. He's a great wrestler, but and it's unfortunate that his career had to be cut short, so
yeah.
I don't know. But who is your number 17?
Number 17 for me, Rey Mysterio. Okay. The energy he brings to the arena. you know that energy is good. Yep. You know the energy is good.
Yeah.
There's a couple of cliches with him. Yes, I know. And, you know, part of me doesn't mind cliches. Deal with it.
Well, number 17, another one I'll probably get murdered for, but I have Shawn Michaels. Again, reason being, he is one of the, he's one of the innovators in the business. He deserves to be on the list. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, because he is. But he had one of the greatest WrestleMania matches ever against The Undertaker, WrestleMania 25 and 26. I think he just deserves it. He deserves to be on my list, but he wasn't ever one of my favorites. You know what I mean? He had great matches, but he wasn't really one of my favorites as like a character. So who's up at number 16?
That was understandable. Number 16 for me, Hulk Hogan. Crappy wrestler, great talker in my mind.
Why do you have like number 20 then?
In my mind, terrible wrestler, but great talker.
His finisher was a leg drop. I mean, he's. Let's be honest. He's worse than John Cena with 5 moves of doom. Let's be honest. He had a fucking big boot, a power slam, and then a leg drop, and he pointed at the crowd. He was only ever there because of his size and his talking ability, and now he's just a wanker. Let's be honest.
Yes, agreed. I have to agree with you on that.
Number 16. I have someone who probably isn't on your list. I have Sabu. Sabu is one of the best stars to come out of ECW. He was one of the innovators of ECW. He was one of the best high flyers, extreme wrestlers, whatever you want to call him. He was one of the best in the business. And I think he was very lucky in his career not to get hurt as much, or much more than what he already did. But I think he deserves to go in the WWE Hall of Fame one day because he is a great innovator, and he's a great, you know, wrestler. And a lot of people do look up to him in the business as an extreme wrestler, as a high flyer, as a cruiserweight. You know, he's one of the great innovators of that extreme high-flying style. So, who was your number 15?
Number 15, you're probably going to want me dead for this. Snoop Dogg.
He didn't even have a match.
Yeah, but... you know.
Again, that's one you get about like 19.
Okay. You know why he's in there. You know why.
Okay. Number 15, I had Triple H. Reason being, he saved the WWE in the Attitude Era.
Triple friggin' hemorrhoid.
With D-Generation X, he saved it. He was... former 14-time world champion, arguably should not have been world champion at Royal Rumble. Neither should have Roman Reigns. You will never ever see Roman Reigns on any of my lists. But unless it's like worst wrestlers, you'll never ever see Roman Reigns on one of my lists. I'm sorry, you just won't. I hate him. He is one of the worst wrestlers, one of the most over-pushed guys ever in the business. Doesn't deserve to be there. But Triple H, he does. I mean, former tag team champion, former world champion, former Intercontinental champion, former European. He just deserves to be on the list, in my opinion. He's a good wrestler, a great wrestler, great innovator again, and just a great guy. So, but who did you have at number 14?
Number 14 for me was Macho Man Randy Savage. For me, a lot of my top 20 is about positive vibes.
Okay.
Happy vibes, you know.
See, I have a lot of heels. I love a great heel.
Positive vibes is a big thing for me. Like, it's supposed to be quality entertainment, and I find that faces are more entertaining, okay. Personally.
Okay. Okay, well, number 14, I have someone who's already been on your list. I have Edge.
Edge.
Rated R superstar. First ever guy to have a live sex celebration on Raw. You know, first ever person with Money in the Bank, cashed in on Cena. Had an arguably either an uglier or a, depending on the person, that Rated R championship belt was pretty cool. I mean, I wish he had used it a lot more when he was WWE champion. But he was a great world champion. He was basically the SmackDown guy in the mid-2000s.
Very true, very true.
Where John Cena was like the Raw guy.
I mean, you'd have to say Triple H. I wouldn't say it would be like the top guy for Raw or SmackDown. I think Edge was the main guy for SmackDown in the late 2000s and then early 2010s. And John Cena was the Raw guy. You know, started on Raw. I started on SmackDown, went to Raw, and has stayed on Raw ever since 2005. Where Edge has stayed on SmackDown since before he retired, since 2009, basically. You know, he showed up on Raw in like 2011 and stuff, but he was basically a SmackDown guy.
He wasn't a SmackDown guy. I reckon he was the SmackDown guy, personally. Well,
again, you could argue that. But you could also argue maybe CM Punk or someone that was also the SmackDown guy of the early 2010s society. But who was your number 13?
Number 13 would be the Lunatic Fringe, Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
Again, it's to do with the energy that they bring. Energy and positive vibes. Not so much a positive vibe, but the energy. Energy for me is a big thing as well.
See, I think he could be a great heel one day. He could be a much better heel than the what Reigns is trying to be.
I agree. I reckon Ambrose would make a great heel.
He'd be the same as Kevin Owens is not an authoritarian heel. He's the prize fighter. He's the guy that's just there to win the title.
Yeah.
That'll be the same for Ambrose, I think. He'd just be there, just be hectic. He'd be there winning the titles. He wouldn't care about anyone else.
Hectic-y land.
He's just there for the championships. He's there for the wins. That would be his heel persona. I cannot picture him being with Triple H or anyone like Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins will become the anti-authoritarian face, and he'll be the authoritarian heel. It's the same as what Randy Orton has been. But Orton's been the anti-authoritarian face and also the anti-authoritarian heel as well. But he's also been the authoritarian face and also the authoritarian heel. That'll be the same for Rollins as well. Rollins is very much the next Randy Orton crossover with Shawn Michaels, I think. But yeah, I mean, Ambrose is a great player. I'm glad you actually have Ambrose there, because I have Seth Rollins number 13. It's good we actually both have two Shield members at the same number, because Rollins is a brilliant heat. With his high-flying moves that he had in NXT, it'll make him a brilliant face. The same way Ambrose's lunatic style. He's kind of like a Sabu almost sort of thing. He's just not as high-flying, but he's a little bit like Cactus Jack or Sabu. He's really hardcore, and the fans really, they draw to that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm
very true.
Well, what do you think about him? I was like, is this a great wrestler?
If you wanted it just put as simple as possible, then yeah, just a great wrestler.
Yeah.
To put it...
Definitely a future multiple-time world champion, current world champion at the moment.
Very, very true.
But, again, future world champion. Multiple times.
I can see him in the Hall of Fame, personally.
I can. I think the Shield will definitely go in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
They're obviously gonna put all three of the guys in the Shield are future Hall of Famers. But they haven't built, say, Reigns properly. They've built Ambrose and Rollins brilliantly. They built Rollins with the US title when he was WWE champion, the NXT championship. They built Ambrose with the United States and the Intercontinental title. He's already a Grand Slam champion.
Yeah, true. Very true.
And he's only been in the company for, 3 years? He's already done what The Miz did in 5 or 7 years. He's already done what Shawn Michaels did his entire career. Or he's already done what Chris Jericho has done. He is a future Hall of Famer. Far out about it. So is Rollins as well. I can picture Rollins. But see, I think about Rollins and Ambrose is they're both guys that can win the world title and then go down and win the Intercontinental Championship or the US Championship and then go straight back up and win the world title. Because they're so easy to build. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very true.
Where Reigns... They didn't build Reigns properly as a world champion. They put him smack bam right there. They could have given him the US title, and they could have built him like this American hero against, say, Rusev last year. Or they could have had him win the IC title of Owens. You know, Reigns has been having great matches with AJ Styles at the moment. Imagine the match he would have had with Kevin Owens, though.
That would have been amazing. That would have been good.
Two powerhouses clashing would have been such a good matchup. I mean, Owens would carry the match like Styles did against Reigns.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
Reigns would have been a great match.
Reigns has some cool spots. Like that high cross sit-out powerbomb, that should be his signature as his finisher instead of having that fucking Superman punch. That should be his heel finisher. That and the spear would be amazing as a finisher.
WWE, make this a reality.
Yeah. All right, so who did you have a number 12?
Hashtag make it reality. Yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, I can understand why you have him on the list. He didn't make my list.
He didn't make your list.
Right, but the main reason being, he was really, really technical and a great wrestler before he broke his neck. He was a great talker, There are just guys that I feel are better in the ring.
True, true, very true.
But please explain why you have Stone Cold on there.
Stone Cold, as you said, great talker. Absolutely great talker. And he was a great wrestler as well.
Well, in the early days, he was a tremendous wrestler.
Yeah.
But then after Breakfast Nick, he had to be a little bit more cautious, and he became a little bit like John Cena and Hulk Hogan. He had very few moves he could actually do because of his neck. I mean, he was a great wrestler, and I think it was the fact that he was anti-austerian. But you look at him now, and you can tell it was so pushed. Such a pushed thing for him to be anti-authoritarian. But back then, people didn't have the internet, so they didn't know that. They thought he was legit, hated the boss. That was why they all drew to Hulk Hogan.
No interwebs back then.
Yeah, they all. That's why they all drew to Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. It was that feeling of he's a relatable guy who's trying to go after his boss.
Yeah. It's a screw the man kind of deal. Yeah. That is like, oh my God, I wish I had the kuniunis to say that to my boss, you know. Exactly. But, you know. Nobody does.
But that wouldn't happen in real life.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
But for my number 12, I had a great indie wrestler. Great wrestler everywhere. And then recently came to WWE. I have Samoa Joe. He's one of the best big men currently in the business. He is amazing. He
works great as a heel. He's a great heel. He's a great face, but he's a better heel. He's tremendous. He's had great matches with Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Kurt Angle, all these great matches in TNA and now WWE and then ROH and some in New Japan. He's a great wrestler and he deserves to be on the list, I think, in my mind. But back to Stone Cold for a second. He'd probably be my 21st or 22nd favorite wrestler.
22nd? Who'd be 21st?
21st, 22nd.
Around there. Okay. Yeah, around so there, he just missed
he
the list.
He just missed it. He'd be an honorable mention for me because, again, great talker. He's just not a great... I love the technical wrestlers. So who did you have at number 11?
Number 11 would be Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar, the power of the man.
Would you say, though, the Brock Lesnar of today or the Brock Lesnar of early
2000s? Yeah, see, I think they were both good.
He was equally a hothead when he originally started, and I think he's more dominant now than he was then.
Yeah, I think it would have to be the modern Brock Lesnar
style now.
Yeah.
Back then, he was more a wrestler, and they gave him... Such a weird, like, I can't picture the modern day Brock Lesnar doing the things that Brock Lesnar did back in 2004 and stuff.
Yeah, because the early Brock Lesnar, I mean, like...
He was a young hothead, he had Paul Heyman with him, he was...
He was a lot younger, and he was a high school wrestler, like, he wrestled competitively in high school.
Dolph Ziggler...
That was the kind of style he went after.
Wrestler. Dolph Ziggler is a collegiate wrestler. They didn't push him very well. I don't have Dolph Ziggler on my list, but... It's very similar style, but Brock Lesnar has now become more dominant with his MMA training, and he's
also very good in the MMA world as well, just
exactly.
Straight up.
And I think when he fights Mark Hunt at UFC 200, I think it's going to be a great fight, but I think Brock Lesnar is actually going to come out on top. Number 11, I have another great talker, but a great wrestler. That's why he etched out Stone Cold. I have his arch rival, The Rock. Because The Rock was basically the full package. He was a great heel, he was a great face, he was a great talker, and he was a great wrestler.
Amazing talker.
He had that charisma that just got... He is a far-out future Hall of Famer. Surprised he's not already in the Hall of Fame.
Since his beginning, even up until now, he's still... Non-stop, he's been a great talker.
When he was in... Nation of Domination, first out, when he was let loose, that was unbelievable. Just unbelievable talk, unbelievable wrestler. It's giving me chills right now, actually. Just thinking about it, but yeah, he's a great wrestler and now a fairly good actor. He's all right now. I think
since I reckon it's still pretty debatable.
Alright, so number 10.
At number 10 for me... Has to be Sheamus.
Okay.
Sheamus.
You have a lot of modern guys on there.
Yes, I do have a lot of modern guys. But a few older ones as well.
I can understand why Sam is on this, because at the start of his career, he was a great heel. And then he became not a mediocre face, but he was an alright face. And now he's an alright heel. Like, he's better as, like, the dominant guy who just...
He was better in his beginnings, definitely.
Yep.
But I still think he's pretty decent
yep.
as a wrestler. And I think he's a decent talker as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't...
I mean, not amazing. Not... Yep. It's kind of like... It's kind of... I'm going to make a really bad comparison here.
Yep.
Kind of like The Rock, except not as high on the levels in all. Rock was a great all-rounder.
Yep.
Sheamus is an all-right all-rounder.
I think Sheamus would be the guy that would just etch out the top 20 as well, with Stone Cold. They just need to build him right. They need to build his character correctly. They need to use him correctly, because that's how they're going to get him to his full potential. I mean, he's been there now for 7 years, so... But, I think if I had your list, I wouldn't have him that high, that high on the list. I think I'd have him maybe a lot more closer, maybe the top, maybe the 20th, or like maybe 17th or 16th. I don't know. That's just me personally. But at number 10, I actually have a tag team.
A tag team?
I have the Young Bucks.
Ah, yeah. I was tempted to put a tag team into my list as well, but I wasn't sure whether you would allow that.
Basically, the reason I have the Young Bucks there is they're fucking awesome. Such a good tag team. Such a great moveset.
They put on, you know, 3.5 to 4 to 5 star matches every time. They're amazing. Their finisher is awesome. That jumping into that that slam like tombstone pile driver thing. Oh my god, it's so cool. They don't want to have to sign for WWE because they know they won't get used properly. They'll get used great in NXT, but as soon as they got to the main card, they're not going to get used properly. Which is a shame.
Unfortunately. It is unfortunate but that they if they were to end up in WWE.
They are amazing as a tag team. They are unbelievable. They're awesome. So good. Who'd you have at number 9?
Number 9, for me, Shane McMahon.
Okay.
I only ever saw one match, and it's his WrestleMania match, WrestleMania 32.
I didn't know what some of his older matches were, like Kane and stuff, because if you watch those...
You need to show me some of the older matches, bro. I want to see them.
I don't think he'd be number 9 on your list if you saw some of his earlier matches. Like, they were good matches, but he wouldn't be, like, your number 9. But I understand why he's there and why you only saw that match sort of thing, but I can understand why, but... A little bit surprising.
I mean, like, I saw the highlight reel before his match as well, yeah. Like... Yeah, he was clearly a very good wrestler in the early day as well.
I wouldn't say very good.
Well, he was clearly decent.
He was he could get by in a match. So he's a former hardcore European champion. I mean,
there you go.
But number 9, I have.
So he clearly wasn't crap.
Yeah, but number 9, I had one of the most underutilized talents in history of the WWE. Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect. This man was. Should have been a world champion. He was an unbelievable talent. He was one of the best technical wrestlers in the ring of all time. He was one of the best characters of all time. He was... I hate he was so underutilized because he had such a great opportunity becoming a world champion. He should have been a world champion. Yes, he was a great Intercontinental champion, but he should have been a world champion. One of the most underutilized talents in history. I think the same with Shelton Benjamin as well. Both of them. Underutilized. He was so good and should have been up there, I think.
But it didn't happen.
No, unfortunately. No, unfortunately, he died. But who do you have at number 8?
Number 8. Would have to be, he has been mentioned before in our massive conversation that we've been having,
yep.
Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Seth Rollins. He...
Basically everything I said?
Yeah. I can't add anything, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the future of the WWE.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's almost present. I think he's almost the present.
Yep.
Not quite, but he's definitely the future.
Well, my eight has to do with present, but it's a little bit different. It's presence, but CE, not NTS. I'd be Undertaker.
I thought you were getting me a Christmas present, Hamish.
No. The reason I have the Undertaker on there is his presence. Is his presence. And the whole idea of him being undefeated at WrestleMania for so long, former world champion. In my opinion, the best Undertaker there ever was the American Badass Undertaker. Because that was him setting loose as a legit badass. Like, he was a badass when he was the Undertaker, like, when he was proper Undertaker. But when he was the American Badass...
The American Badass Undertaker was the best.
He was awesome.
No doubt about it.
But again, the only words I can describe him is presence, basically.
Yeah, he's like Santa.
Alright, who did you have at number 7, Jack?
Number 7 for me is AJ Styles.
Okay.
Was
too far off.
Was awesome in NXT, and his debut...
He went to NXT.
NXT. Sure? Well, maybe I'm shipping out. I don't know.
He's in TNA.
Alright, whatever, Mum. Awesome in TNA. I'm just really not awake at the moment.
You don't even watch TNA.
Yeah, bugger you.
He's awesome for what you've seen in WWE.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Just like the duck with the lemonade stand.
Okay. My number 7 is El Generico / Sami Zayn. Same guy, but Sami Zayn had one of the greatest matches of all time this year at NXT Dallas with Shinsuke Nakamura. Probably my favorite match of all time I've ever watched. Unbelievable in the ring. Great feud with Kevin Owens. Great wrestler. A great talent. He's amazing. He's awesome. Awesome wrestler. Who'd you have at number 6?
Number 6 for me, you just mentioned him, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
Basically, for the hilarity that he brings to wrestling, his entrance is amazing. It's almost got an animalistic vibe to it. But at the same time, it's got a party human kind of vibe as well. It's an amazing blend of the two.
Yep.
And if I was to go into wrestling, I would want something similar. But I just would never be able to do that justice. It is amazing entrance, amazing in the ring. What more can I say?
Yep. Number 6, I have his upcoming opponent, or his opponent for NXT, Finn Balor. Finn Balor, both in New Japan and NXT, he has an aura about him. You know, the demon entrance, his persona, the face paint, the Balor Club, the Bullet Club, he's awesome. He's just... I'm an indie darling. I love indie wrestlers,
I've noticed.
But he's just awesome. He's such a great wrestler. Who's your number 5 though?
Number 5 has been mentioned as well on your list. The Undertaker.
Okay. Let me guess. Presence as well again.
Yeah, it's
the Santa Claus special.
Yeah, the Santa Claus special, definitely. As you said, it's just his presence in.
Yep.
In the room and in events
the
and everything.
About him being there.
Yeah.
The streak and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5, I have at one point, who was my favorite wrestler? He was my favorite wrestler at one point, but I have Jeff Hardy. When I first started watching wrestling around 2008, he was in one of the first matches I ever watched. I don't know why, but his persona, his character, and his charisma just drew me to him, you know. That's why they called him the Enigma and the Charismatic Enigma, or whatever you want to call him. He was awesome. TNA, pretty mediocre. I mean, what he's doing now with Matt Hardy, but he was great in WWE. He was a great wrestler, great tag team wrestler. Fortunately, he didn't get the world title as many times as I would have liked him to. But you know, he's on the list because at one point he was my favorite wrestler, and he has to be at least on my list somewhere, and he's going to be number five. But who was your number four, Jack?
Number four for me, The Rock, also has been mentioned by you.
Yep.
Very similar reasoning, but just stronger feeling for the reasoning, and I guess that's why the higher rank as well.
Okay.
We're starting to get down into the business end of the rankings of the list, now.
Yeah.
And you might disagree with me having him this high up. I don't know.
I can understand why you have him that high. It's just, they're people I like better.
Yeah. But at the same time, as I've already said, good wrestler, crap actor. In my mind, he's not the greatest actor.
I'm not saying he's the greatest actor. I'm saying he's an okay actor. Gets by.
I'll give him that.
Number four, I have AJ Styles. At the start of his WWE run, when he first left WCW and wanted to be in WWE, WWE lost one of the greatest talents of all time to TNA. TNA used him properly, apart from when they put him with Ric Flair. He is great in the ring, great on the mic. I hate his accent.
Nah, you can't hate the accent. It's funny, bro.
I don't like it.
It's funny.
But he does deserve a place most, because he's one of the best technical wrestlers of all time. And he's future Hall of Famer somewhere. He's great in Japan. Great with the Bullet Club, great with the club, great in WWE, great in TNA. He's great all around, basically. And TNA lost one of the best wrestlers of all time when he left to go to Japan because they weren't paying him enough.
Oh, well.
Who's your number three, though?
Number three. You're not going to like me for this. I know you're not. Okay. But I'm a fanboy. John Cena.
Okay.
Cena, again, the positive vibe. Heyman's just sitting there, just like, Jack, what the hell are you doing?
I'm thinking, you're such a five-year-old.
Well, I'll be honest, I am still very, very childish at heart, so...
He does deserve a place on people's lists, though. Because it is John Cena. He does deserve a people... He's the guy... Someone mentions him, straight away you think of WWE.
Yeah.
You think of wrestling.
But he's the one that...
It's the same with Hogan, same with The Rock.
He's the current one that all the young wrestling fans look up to. And I think that, like, you can't deny for, say, a five-year-old who's just discovered wrestling and really, really like... That's a decent role model.
Yep.
I mean, he could have picked Kane or something.
John Cena is a great guy. I mean... He's granted over 300 wishes for Make-A-Wish Foundation. Really down to earth.
That's the big thing that I like. The fact that he's real.
He can't... Problem is, though, WWE can't turn him heel at this point. He's so far into the face.
Yeah.
He cannot be turned heel. Just because...
I mean, they could, but it would take a while to transition.
No, it's not believable. The only way they could do it is by taking down another massive face, and they could have done that by making him end the streak or something like that. Anyway, number three, in my opinion, probably the second best superstar of the year so far in all of WWE is Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke earned the moniker King of Strong Style.
Strong Style.
Something wrong style.
Yeah.
He is flat out awesome. He has a great persona, great character. He's just his mannerisms, his movements. He's awesome. He's so cool, and his entrance music is some of the best music I've ever heard from WWE. I mean, it's awesome. It's amazing. You know, it's one of the best. I would consider having that as like my theme song. Same with maybe the Seth Rollins theme or the AJ Styles on that. Those three could easily become my ringtone on my mobile. They're that good. I listen to them whenever I work out sometimes. I mean, they're just great. They're awesome. And he's one of the best exports out of Japan of all time. Had one of the greatest matches of all time this year with Sami Zayn at NXT Dallas TakeOver. One of the best matches ever with Kevin Owens / Kevin Steen at ROH when New Japan did a deal with them. Just... He's just awesome. Such a great wrestler. Such a great character.
Awesome, bro. Awesome. He's so awesome. He's awesome, isn't he?
I know.
He's so awesome.
I'm sorry. top 3 were pretty set in stone if I wanted.
Yeah, no. I got it. I gotcha.
Who's your number 2, though?
Number 2 for me, Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Again, it's one of those weird things where I'm not 100% sure on my reasoning, but he has to be there, if that makes sense. It's complete and utter gibberish and stupidity, and my brain is not working. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, number 2, I have CM Punk.
CM Skunk.
Basically because WWE didn't use him correctly at the end of his run. He was so underused, such a great talker on the mic, you know, these pipe bombs. With that Dude. First pipe bomb before Money, 2 or 3 weeks before Money in the Bank, before he was leaving, air quotations, by the way, that just set a course for a whole new revolution, and unfortunately he'd left, and he didn't get to end the revolution. But what he said was true. Because people who listened to him and who loved him and who agreed with him, they still go to the shows. They still buy the collector cups that he's not on. They still buy the tickets. They still pile money into the business, into the company, even though he's not there. And we all want him to come back, but he probably won't. He'll probably stay in UFC and lose to Mickey Gall or whoever he's facing.
I think it's Mickey Gall, isn't it?
I think it is. Doesn't matter. But I'm pretty glad you have Kevin Owens at number 2 and I have CM Punk at number 2 because your number 1 is...
My number 1 is CM Punk, actually. Yeah, as mentioned before, just an amazing talker, for one, and also a pretty good wrestler as well.
That Shota Society storyline had such hope, but again, they didn't book it correctly. It was good for the first few months, but once again, classic WWE, they just buried it.
But yeah, like, even if it doesn't happen at UFC 200, his UFC debut is going to be good.
It's going to get a lot of talk, and it's going to get a lot of news coverage, because it's been hyped up for so long.
Yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be a big event. There's no denying that. And even if he does get the absolute crap whooped out of him, it's still going to be good to watch.
Wait, did you say what event it's going to be at? Did you say that what event? It's UFC 203.
I thought it was 200.
No, it's 203. It's Brock Lesnar vs. Mark Hunt at 200.
Okay. My apologies, 203.
But yeah.
Sorry, but even if it doesn't happen then, it will happen eventually because...
His debut will happen at 203.
It's going to happen eventually because even if it doesn't happen at 203, he's not going to go back to WWE.
No. Not until maybe Vince is dead. Like you said, it's going to be better when Vince hands over the company to Shane.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you had Kevin Owens at number 2, because he's my number 1. Kevin Owens, one day in the past, Jim Cornette once said, Kevin Owens is only worth fighting in front of 500 people. He will never fight in a wrestling match against anyone above 500 people. He is now one of the best wrestlers in the WWE. Former Intercontinental Champion, former NXT Champion, beat Cena on his first night in the company, for fuck's sake. He is one of the best goddamn wrestlers in that company, future world champion. I think they're actually going to put him and Zayn after their feud as tag team and get the tag team titles eventually.
That would be cool.
He is unbelievable. One of the best big men of all time. So agile, so quick. You know, that pop-up powerbomb can literally come out of nowhere. People say, okay, out of nowhere. I say pop-up powerbomb out of nowhere. He is incredible. One of the best indie wrestlers of all time. As I said before, had one of the best matches ever with Shinsuke Nakamura in ROH. Had one of the best matches with John Cena at Elimination Chamber when he debuted. One of the best matches with Finn Balor at Tokyo and Beast in the East. One of the best of them in their ladder match. He was unbelievable.
He is a matchmaker.
He is.
Period.
He has 5-star matches most nights. He is awesome. He's unbelievable. Should have won Money in the Bank this year. not Dean Ambrose. They could have built up Dean Ambrose. And if you guys want to listen out for one of our newer episodes where I book how they should have booked Money in the Bank and how they should book the Shield cash and keep an ear out and an eye out for that. They could have built him so well with that Money in the Bank briefcase, and they missed the opportunity this year. Not sucks. He's never actually won a ladder match in the WWE, but the ladder match is actually his specialty match.
Well, I didn't know it was his specialty.
Yep. When he was in the Indies, that was his specialty. It was built up as his specialty match when he fought Finn Balor for the NXT Championship in the ladder match.
Ooh. There you go, folks. For those of you at home who did not know, like myself.
But once again, Undy, he's just so awesome. He's such a great wrestler. He's unbelievable. He's fantastic. He's just, he's one of the best heels in the company. One of the best heels. And if I hear anyone ever say something bad about Kevin Owens, they need to watch one of his matches because he is the best goddamn wrestler in the business today.
And they also need to watch their back because Haim is going to kill you if you say that.
He is. But yeah, those are our lists, guys.
That's about it.
If you want, you guys can send us a message on Twitter. My Twitter is at Hamish WM. I don't know. I'll put it in the description.
Hamish W98 Moonroll. No, as was mentioned in a very, very, very funny
Stevie Breach's video where he botches my name, where I gave him my opinion of what they should have done for WrestleMania 32 this year, which was a horrid mess.
It wasn't great.
My booking was a lot better, I must say. Hey guys, leave us your feedback. Give us a rating.
Give us some love or hate. We don't care.
It might be on YouTube with no video. It'll be like a thumbnail the entire time. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But, hey guys, thanks for listening if you have been listening the entire time. Send us your lists on Twitter. You can follow us there. I'll give you my one. I don't know if Jack has it. I don't think he does.
Nope.
But eventually we'll make one for the actual podcast on Twitter. We'll also eventually make a Facebook page and all that sort of stuff. But until episode 2, guys, thank you very much for listening to WWTW, a.k.a.
Wannabe Wrestlers Talk Wrestling.
I'm your current predictions champion. And eventually when we do make a Twitter for this, you will see the belt that I made that we fight over each month with each pay-per-view. We will eventually give our predictions on those pages that I talked about that will soon be created. Here out for episode 2, guys. Episode 2 is either going to be how WWE should have booked the cash and how they should book the triple threat with the Shield, or what will it be?
Or something else, but most likely that.
Yep. But till next time, guys, I'm Hamish Rhino.
I'm Jack Clift.
And
see you later.
We'll see you next time.